Okay, so next Thursday, back in the cave in St. Louis, then Friday, OnStar Studios in Detroit for the Open Line program, and then I'll come back to St. Louis for about 10, 11 days, and then it's off to Portland to do the story out of the KEX studios as we move all around the country. But right now, I'm still in Los Angeles, and we're back in a moment with your calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. Let's go to the phones. We'll pick it up by going to our wild card line. You are on the air with us. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing, George?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good, good. Good to talk to you. Long time listener. On my way home from work.
What do you do?
And I work for the Home Shopping Network.
Do you?
Yep, yep.
That's cool. You're a technician, a talent? What do you do?
I just work in the warehouse. Getting items that go on the shows.
You get this. Boy, they really move some product, don't they?
Yes, they do. We go through a lot of stuff, and it's cool to see some of the nice stuff coming through there and get some good deals on it,
That's
too.
That's great.
I'm calling because my roommate and I were sitting around the house one day, and this happened like 10 or 15 years ago, and got a phone call, and it's a nurse from a hospital out in Colorado. And she says that one of my family members was hurt in a skiing accident. And she says his name is Justin, and the same last name is mine. And she says that she found in his wallet a like in case of emergency, and my name and phone number were on it. And I'm like, Big Justin, I don't have any relatives named Justin. Nowhere in my family tree is there a Justin. And she's like, well, he's really hurt. He needs immediate operation. And I'm like, well, operate. I don't know him, but you better operate. And she's like, she laughs. And she's like, well, we can't really do that right now. We need to get a proper contact. And I'm like, so you found his name? She's like, yeah, it's your name, Brian, and my last name, and your phone number and your address and everything like that. And I'm like, okay, this is pretty weird. And I was like, well, what hospital is this? She's like, it's St. Bonaventure's out in Denver, in a small town north of Denver, Colorado. And I'm like, okay, I'm sorry, ma'am. I don't have that family member in my name, that name in my family, and nobody in my family is even west of the Mississippi. So it was totally puzzling. And she's like, okay, well, sorry to trouble you. Thank you very much. And hangs up. And I'm sitting there with my roommate. We're talking about it. He's like, dude, why don't you call your mom? And, you know, maybe it's like a long cousin or something. So I call my mom, and we're going through family names. And she's like, no, there's never been a Justin. And so I'm like, well, I'm going to call back the hospital. And I jump on the phone. And I had caller ID. And it came up on unavailable. I was like, okay, well, that makes kind of no sense.
Yeah.
So I call information, and, you know, I can't remember what the name of the little town was, and I can't today, but back then I knew what it was.
Yeah.
I'm saying it to her, and the lady's like, sir, there is no listing in any towns anywhere close to Colorado of a St. Bonaventure hospital. And I'm like, totally puzzled. This has totally got me freaked out now. And I'm just thinking, oh my God, some guy is, how does he have my name? And why is this person calling, the nurse calling me, and why is the hospital like non-existent? It just totally freaked me out. And ever since then, it's kind of stuck with me about, I wonder what happened to that guy and what happened to that hospital.
And where did it go?
Exactly. Where did it go? How come I couldn't call it right back and call information, and they have no listing of that hospital whatsoever up there?
And maybe it never was.
Uh-huh. It's pretty scary thought.
All right, thanks. Appreciate you being part of the program. Be careful. Let's go west of the Rockies. Your turn. Hello there.
George, how are you?
Good.
You're the perfect person to tell this story to. I was 14 years old. This is back in 1998,
mm-hmm.
or 1988, actually, and it was in August. And this was in Whittier, and we had an earthquake the year before, and I was in the high school marching band right before my freshman year, and we had to play in the Whittier High Auditorium, which is this huge Art Deco auditorium because the band room was kind of messed up from the earthquake. So while the band's rehearsing, it's the middle of the day. I had to use the restroom, so I go downstairs to the green rooms. And I go to the left side, which is the male side, and you walk through a makeup room. On your right, there's a dressing room. On your left, there's a restroom. So I go and I use the restroom. I'm washing my hands at the sink, and I'm looking down. As soon as my eyes get to about a 45-degree angle, I notice in the mirror on the opposite wall in the two other rooms away in the dressing room, this giant bug on the wall about right at the height of my head. And this thing had antenna on it that swept at least a foot on either side of it. It was like it swept in like in the circle of a beach ball. Then its body was really long, and it had like wings that looked like they're folded up.
So it was real.
I looked at it in the mirror, and I turned around, and I almost ran out, okay? And I did not even look at it because I was so scared. And I went and I got a guy who was a senior, and, you know, of course, he's bigger than me. So he ran down there with me, and it was gone. But it scared the living daylights out of me, and insects never scare me. And this thing was massive, and it could have been like a beetle, but the antenna were huge.
I mean, that's an interesting open line series, too, if we do our massive insect stories. How would you like to be broadcasting in a show, and all of a sudden a huge millipede goes by? That's what happened to me in the cave in St. Louis. I mean, this thing just went right across the wall, right in front of me, just... And then you lose it, and you've got to broadcast the show for another 3 hours, and you know this critter is in there somewhere. So you're like, anything that happens, you're ready for it. If something falls on your shoulder, you think it's that, and you panic. I just don't like the unknown like that. Wildcard Line, welcome to the show. You're on the air. Hi there.
Well, hi there. How are you?
Good, sir. Thank you for calling.
I should have gone on to the weird call line. I was trying to get a hold of you since April the 12th.
All right. Why? What's going on?
First of all, that week, for some reason, all of your phone calls like deja vu to me, which really blew me away.
You mean like, so you're listening going, I know what they're going to say pretty soon.
Right. I hear the phrases, the same sentence. I go, this is too strange.
That is
and it happened several times during the week of the 12th of April. It's just one of those strange things that happened in my life. My antenna were up, and I was catching a broadcast somehow.
you might have. Maybe you were getting a repeat.
I called because you want to do harmonica, huh?
As a matter of fact, I bought one.
What'd you get, by the way?
Horner.
That's why you can buy.
It cost about $20 or something, so that'll tell you what it's
like. The Marine Van?
I don't know what the exact
model
is, but yeah. I can get that. And I've been just playing around with it.
Oh, yeah. But to have more fun, you want to probably get a Kia C. It's more of a good or G.
How much? What do those things go for?
The same price, $20.
That's not bad.
A Marine Band, and then you can start playing harmonica. But the thing is, to play harmonica with different groups, you got to know how to play cross harp and harmony. And there's a book, I can't recall the title. It's got to be something simple because the guy was a simple guy. It was written by Sonny Little Boy Terry.
Sonny Little Boy Terry?
Wrote the book on how to play the blues harp. So you have to cross-reference by author.
Should I bring this in one day and play it?
Sure. Give it a shot. Do an air check first so I sound kind of
funny. I tell you, my ratings will plummet.
It'll teach you how to, I'm sorry, go ahead.
My ratings will plummet.
That, you get a whole wealth of harmonica players jumping on the air with you. You can just sound like across the nation. We'll go out in our front yard. Instead of having horns, we'll play harmonicas in the front yard.
Well, I did that one night. I had people who knew how to play, and they're pretty good. They popped on.
I tried to. That was one of the nights I was also trying to get through. And then the odd thing was, Monday night, I wanted to get through really bad. I actually got through four different times, and four times I was dropped.
So do you have the harmonica with you?
I have one in my hand.
Do you want to do a little quick...
I can do a little bitty.
All right. That's pretty good.
That was a bit of nothing.
Well, I'll tell you, my engineer ran outside, and he's now howling with the dogs. But other than that, that's not bad. At least, it's got a melody to it. Next up, thanks for the call. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, my name is Eric. I'm from San Diego.
Hey, Eric.
Got a little premonition story that happened a couple months ago.
Yeah, what happened?
Yeah, I was I was just getting off work. I got home right about 9:30 or so. Go home, pop in a movie, and then about 10 minutes later, I hear a crash. I mean, it was loud. I felt it. And so I go outside, and there's nothing there. And so I start walking over my neighbors, asking if you heard this. He says, no. And then he said he didn't hear something. Thinking about, you know, whether or not if I should call the paramedics, you know, because if it was a car crash, you know, someone could be hurt.
Oh, and it sounded like that? It was that big a sound?
Yeah, it sounded right outside my door.
All right.
And then so I'm outside, and I'm thinking, you know, okay, I'm going to have a cigarette and see if something happens. 10 minutes later, this car comes screaming down my street and then smashed my neighbor's car.
Oh, you saw the future. That's amazing.
It was freaky. I mean, and another funny thing is that the neighbor that I asked was his car.
Oh man, that is now. So he comes running out. I guess, right?
Oh, he was just outside, he was inside his kitchen, and then, you know, he was washing the whole thing too.
What did he say?
He's like, you know, I wish you would have. He said, I wish you would have told me to move my car or something.
That's pretty good. I mean, has this happened to you before?
I've gotten little hints of things, like I can tell what song, you know, is playing on the radio next or something, but nothing really serious like this.
That is a pretty good gift. You should tune that up.
I try. I mean, I'm a late night security guard, so I got a lot of time on my hands, a lot of thinking to do, but.
Have you ever played blackjack and you know what the card's going to be before they flip it?
You know, actually, I am a pretty avid poker player, but for some reason, blackjack has never been my game.
You play what, the Texas Hold'em?
Yeah.
And can you predict cards?
I can read people pretty well, but just for some reason, I cannot read cards. I mean, I'm really bad at math.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know. It's just that one freaky incident.
Well, it was a big one. Hey, thanks for the call.
Not a problem. Thank you.
There's a magic behind some of that. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Oh.
There you are. Where are you?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Get on the phone.
This is Deborah calling from Mill Creek.
Where's that?
Washington.
Oh, okay.
I have a story. My car was failing me. And I could only get it to go 25 miles an hour uphill. And I was so far away from home, I thought, this car will not make it home. So I thought, well, I got to get to a rental agency and rent myself a car just to get home.
Yeah.
And I started on my cell phone calling just, you know, companies that came to mind, and everybody was closed. And so I thought, I got to get to a phone book. So I found a phone book, and I started from the A's, and I went for all the big ads, the biggest agencies, you know. And I got all the way to N. Everybody was closed. I got to National, and I called them, and they said, yeah, we're going to be home in a few more minutes. I had just enough time to get there, and I asked out where they were, and I said, by the way, you didn't answer the phone, National. And I said, what was the name of your company? And they said, well, we're Arrow. And so I got off the phone, and I looked at the phone book, and I thought, no, I'm right here on the National ad.
Yeah, you're in the N's, right?
Right, and I had totally covered over the A's. There's no way I could even see. I thought, well, maybe the phone numbers are similar. So I went and I flipped back. The phone numbers were nothing alike. But somehow I dialed National, and I got Arrow, which was an ad I'd already passed by and didn't call.
See, you lucked out on that one.
I got some help.
So what'd you do, leave your car there and come back for it the next day or what?
I had it towed to the dealership.
And what was wrong with it?
It's something to do with the exhaust.
And that's why you were only spinning at 25 miles an hour?
I couldn't uphill. I could only go 25. Yeah.
And that's a horrible feeling when your car's ready to die and you are out in the middle of no man's land.
Yeah.
Or you get a flat tire. You never get a flat tire at the right time. It's always at the wrong time.
I did get a flat tire when I was a kid. I was in high school. And this man pulled over, and he helped me change it, and he said to return the favor, I had to help another person when they were in need.
Yep, that's what I tell people, too. They offer you something, money or something. I said, I do go back and say how much. No, I'm kidding, but I tell them the same thing. Just help somebody else one day.
Yeah.
That maybe that's how it grows, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks for the call. Appreciate you being part of Coast to Coast. And now let's go to our wild card line. Your turn. Hello there.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Take it away.
Hi, my name is Josh. I'm calling from West Palm Beach, Florida.
Yes, sir.
And as a little quick comment before I get into my weird story, my birthday is actually the 19th, and the same day your book comes out.
Well, good news for both of us, I hope.
Yeah, it's the only thing I asked for my birthday. Anyway, my weird story happened about a year ago, and I'm an investigator for a retail corporation, and basically I investigate theft, internal theft, to be specific.
You mean like employees might walk
yeah,
off
exactly.
with something? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, during the holiday season, how there's those storage containers in back of the retail store.
Okay.
What happened is this was the case of the haunted storage container.
The haunted storage container?
I don't know if haunted's the best word, but out of a store where 400-plus people worked, in the 2 months that I was at that store, I moved from store to store, 18 people were fired because they did drugs in the trailer on the clock. And we had an infrared camera on there because what people would do is they'd go in the trailer and they'd shut the door so there'd be no light. So we went and we got an infrared camera. You know, it's one that can see in the dark that doesn't work on visible light.
How do you know they weren't just smoking a cigarette?
Because we were very close. I was sometimes on top of the trailer. Anytime we see someone smoking, we just open up the trailer door.
You were on top of the trailer?
Yeah.
And then you just open the door? Surprise, I'm here?
Basically, it was that bad. It was so many people were smoking drugs in this trailer. And the thing is when we asked them, when the police asked them, why did you do drugs at work? What came over you? And they said, I don't know. When I was back there pulling merchandise, I just had this overwhelming urge to do their drug of choice. And, usually it was marijuana.
And were they all pulling merchandise in that same region?
It was a trailer full of like bedding, like a storage trailer full of like bedding or something.
Yeah.
And the thing is, whenever they'd go in there, they all said the same thing. I don't know. I just had this overwhelming urge to smoke out. I had this overwhelming urge to do X, whatever drug.
But just there.
Just in that trailer, and in 2 months, 18 people got fired for doing drugs in that trailer. One person got fired for stealing out of the trailer, which is why I was there in the first place. But there were some employees that would refuse to go into that trailer because it would just creep them out so much.
Did you ever find out what happened to this trailer a long time ago?
It's weird that storage containers can be patched if they got a hole in it. This trailer had 21 patches in it. So something happened where it was like, we don't even know what happened to it.
What do you mean, 21, like somebody shot through it?
Maybe not shot through it, but cut into it. It looked like a big window was cut out of the side of it or something. We have no idea, but it's
Let me ask you something. Sure. Could illegals have been hiding in something like that?
Yeah, that's exactly the kind of trailer that you hear about on the news that sometimes they find bodies in.
So I wonder if somebody died and they just continue to haunt the thing. And people who go in there, it happens to them.
Some people liked it. Some people really liked working in that trailer. Some people would not go in it. Some people were just scared to death of it. Some people felt very comfortable.
And when you walked in there, did you just feel okay?
No, I felt I wanted to get out of there. And I wouldn't go in there without the door open or a flashlight.
Sounds like some people may have died in that thing. Wherever it may have come from. I'll be back in a moment. Another half hour to go of Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM. Let me tell you a little bit about the After Dark newsletter. You get 14 issues for the price of 12. Great stories, good contributors to that newsletter. The most recent one in September, you can just read about dieting and also George Knapp. He's the anchorman in Las Vegas who has unraveled many UFO stories. Been on the program before, both as a guest and as a guest host. You can get that by calling 1-888-727-5505. That's the toll-free line, or go online at coasttocoastam.com. Okay, welcome back to the final segment of Open Lines here on Coast to Coast AM. First time caller line, it's your turn. Hi.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Good morning.
Wonderful. Well, I've got quite the story for you.
All right.
it happened back when I was 16 years old. I was living in a house at a hot springs here in Idaho around Twin Falls Valley area.
Oh, yeah.
And my bedroom was like the master bedroom, and it had been an add-on, so there was a big like concrete wall separating the rest of the house, so you couldn't really hear anything at all. I'll just start you off with that. You couldn't hear anything on the other side of the house.
That's solid, huh?
Yeah. And so I was laying in my bed one night, listening to my radio. I had my closet lights turned on and both my closet doors open. I had my bedroom door open. And there were no windows open in the house. It was the middle of winter. I mean, there was no, like, air circulation or anything really going on. And all of a sudden, I'm just laying there, and my radio turns off, my lights all turn off, and my doors slam, all of them. I had two closet doors and my bedroom door all just slammed shut with a loud bang. I mean, it scared me so bad. It was just absolutely terrible. I just laid there in my bed, just petrified, gripping the sheets, not knowing really what to do. And so I screamed for my mom, but her bedroom was across the house. And now that my door was shut, you couldn't hear anything at all. There was no way that she could hear me. And so I'm just, you know, I couldn't get out of my bed because I was just absolutely petrified. And so I'm screaming for my mother. And I literally sat there for probably about 10 minutes just in the dark screaming for my mom. And then all of a sudden my mom opens my door quickly and like with like almost fear, like emergency.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as she opens the door, it scared me that she had even entered, you know, because I knew that she probably couldn't hear me. But and then all of a sudden she literally opened her mouth to try and speak to me, and all I heard was meh, meh, meh. Like, if you can imagine what that sound would be like on a person's face, like how their mouth would be moving. She was trying to talk to me, but literally she was being like suffocated. She could not speak to me.
Was she aware that words weren't coming out of her mouth?
Yeah, it scared her, and it scared me so badly. She kept trying to speak to me because she didn't know what was going on. She was just like, muh, 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 you know, she just couldn't get anything out.
Did you think something was happening to her, like she was going to have a heart attack or something?
Well, it wasn't even so much that. She wasn't in any, like, physical trauma. She was just trying so hard to talk,
yeah.
But I didn't know what was happening. It scared me so bad that I started just screaming,
yeah,
even louder.
I mean, I would have thought maybe she had a stroke or something.
Yeah, exactly. It was just totally bizarre. But and then all of a sudden she just started clapping because I talked to her later and that was the only thing she could think to do because she couldn't speak. So she just started like clapping really loud to try and get whatever energy was in the room to move and start, you know, and go away because, you know, she had taken some like metaphysical like classes and things and that's what they had told her to get rid of like bad energy or bad spirits is clapping loudly will help that. So she did that immediately, and that even scared me even worse when she was like walking around my room just clapping as loud as she could, just, you know. And so I'm just like laying there with my covers over up to my chin,
walking around your room
screaming,
clapping, going ugh, ugh.
Yeah, exactly. It was the most terrifying thing ever. And then finally she made it to my bedside and sat down and like grabbed me and held me, and then we just both took a deep breath, and then she could finally, like, barely get words out, and she was like, are you okay? Are you okay?
Well, was she okay? That's the question.
I know, exactly. It terrified me. She was fine afterward. We got out of the room as soon as we could. As soon as she got to my bed, I was okay because I was with her, you know? So we both just got off of my bed and went out of the room as quickly as we could. We didn't turn any lights on or anything. We didn't waste our time. We just got out of there.
Was she able to talk once she got out of that room?
Yes, and what she was telling, she told me her experience of it, and that's literally what she felt. Like, she was fine. She just could not get any words out. And actually, she was in a very, very deep sleep while I was screaming. She didn't actually hear me. She woke up from like a start, like hearing me screaming mom in her, in her head, she said that she just didn't really hear it. You know, when you're in a deep sleep, you know, you don't, you know, and there's no way she could have heard me. That's the bizarre part. You know,
well, I got to tell you, I mean, my first thought would have been your mom had a stroke, but then again, you probably had some spirit holding her back. And the fact that you got out of that room and she was okay, what does that tell you? Let's move on to our East of the Rockies line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Yes, George. How are you?
Good. Thanks.
Yeah, this is Randy calling from Oklahoma City.
Uh-huh.
And I just want to share an experience with you I had. It's been about 22 years ago now.
All
but
right.
I'm a longtime listener to your program, and I love the stuff you have on here.
Thanks for supporting us.
Oh, you're welcome, sir. And, well, this took place, I was still in high school at the time, all right, and it was late at night, around midnight, I'm guessing. It was late at night, but I was just lying in my bed. And we lived in a small house in a small town. And I had the windows of my door open, so the moonlight was shining. The curtains to my window were open, and the moonlight was shining in the room. And I was lying on the bed, and I had my eyes closed, and I wasn't asleep yet. And you know how you get a sensation like there's somebody in your room or, you know, in your presence?
Oh, yeah. You can feel it.
Yes, sir. And so I felt, you know, a presence in the room, and my initial, you know, thought was my mother's come into my room because she and I lived in the house together, and I barely opened my eyes and I seen this image standing next to my bed, and the proximity of the image to me is what gave me a start. And so I opened my eyes wider to get a better look at what I was looking at, and what I seen through the light glaring through my window, it wasn't my mother at all. There was this I'm calling it a creature, but for the sake of a better word, was standing next to my bed, right next to my bed. And it was the ceilings were about 6.5 foot tall, maybe, and it had to hunch over because it would have hit the ceiling. And anyway, it looked to be, you know, it was a biped, stood on 2 feet, and it was, you know, huge, colossal, like, you know, massively built. And it had a bald, I almost want to say a reptilian head on it. And I couldn't really grasp what it was I was looking at for a second. And, of course, once I realized that I was seeing something I had, don't know what I'm dealing with here, I mean, I got this real negative sensation, you know, like an evil presence. And so I closed my eyes, you know, and I started muttering to myself, and I felt like I was being drawn through my bed, like trying to be sucked in through the bed, you know, toward the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, I'm sitting there and I'm feeling this, you know, and my heart's racing 100 miles an hour and I'm terrified. And this lasts for about 10 to 15 seconds, and I feel a calmness sweep over the room, and I don't feel a presence anymore. And so I open up my eyes again, barely, and I look, and there's nothing in the room, and the room's brighter than it was before, because it seemed like while this thing was in my room, the room had actually gotten darker. And so I immediately, after I gained my composure, of course, I jumped out of my bed, and I ran to my mother's room, and she was, you know, sound asleep on her bed, you know, snoring and whatnot. And I woke her up and asked her if she'd been in my room, and she said no. And there were only the two of us in the house at the time. So anyway, I went back to my room and, you know, had a hard time going back to sleep. But I'd only shared this with a couple of people throughout my lifetime. But having listened to your show for so long, I've been eager to call and glad I finally got through to talk with you about it and just let you know what I had experienced. And I'm just curious to know if anyone else has had these kind of experiences, what it might be, and if you know of any kind of websites or anything that a person could go to check this out.
What do you think created that calming feeling and then it went away? Did anything special happen at that moment?
No, I mean, I was praying, of course, you know what I'm saying, because
yeah.
I was so scared. But it's like, you know, the presence left the room. You know how I told you I felt, you know, that it came in the room?
Yeah.
Well, it just felt like, you know, it was gone, that it had left. And, of course, when I opened my eyes, there wasn't nothing in the room again. But I know that I wasn't asleep.
Well, I'll tell you what, one of the things you can do is go to our website and look under past guests. Well, you'll find all that on the left-hand side. And look for Marianne the Ghostbuster.
Marianne.
I mean, she has done some of these things before. And in terms of experiences, lots of people have gone through some of the things that you have. Let's, how much time we got? We've got time. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hi, George. Good morning.
Yeah.
I just wanted to wonder if you read that story. I think it was on WorldNet Daily or Snopes, one of the kind of alternative news about soldier or marine in Iraq that came across what I guess they're assuming is a Anunnaki related I don't know how you call it, like a carving, a cuneiform or something like that. It said what it was a village or like a town being attacked from overhead by an eagle with a, I don't know how many stars on its back. I've seen a picture of it. It's incredible. I mean, it looks like a, have you ever seen like a flagpole that has the eagle on top?
Sure.
Kind of like that, but with the stars, like a 5-point stars on its back.
That's strange. No, I didn't see that on WorldNet Daily.
I know it was one of those Tuesday. I mean,
and Snopes, you know, you don't know. Snopes doesn't have real things all the time.
That's true too. I know it was one of the alternative news sites.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then I guess you know, if you've ever seen them, there. And I'm a big believer in that kind of stuff, like the Marshall Clarfield.
Yes.
Type of school of thinking, you know, the Jason Martells you've had on many times, that kind of school of thinking. And it's kind of laid out almost like in a comic book fashion. If you've ever seen like scene by scene.
Uh-huh.
And the way it ends, and you got, obviously it's the southern Iraq, so you know what I mean? We're pretty much heavily embedded in the area. The way it ends is three, not much if you've ever seen, it's almost, it's a famous carving they've had of the Anunnaki with the bird.
Sure, the Sumerian text, yeah.
Exactly, exactly.
Tablets.
The kind of the, you know, the bird, it almost looks like a mask or
yeah.
a headdress. Three of them on winged, the way best way I could describe it would be like a winged chariot chasing the eagle away, which I thought, I mean, considering the current state of things, I thought was pretty pretty crazy.
All right, I'll search for that. I have not seen that.
But I have to, two more things I just want to get past you real quick.
I've got time for one.
Well, I heard a rumor that you might be getting a TV show on the Sci-Fi Network.
That's a very good rumor.
Is that true? Which I think would be a great. I know that was kind of going around with Art Bell too when he came up with that, you know, saying that I had a big announcement. Turned out to be obviously they got married, but
yeah, well, yeah, this is happening.
There was a lot of rumors going on the internet that all kinds of stuff. You know what I mean?
This will happen.
That sounds like a very good thing. And I was wondering if I could have you say hi to my my father. He's gone through some tough times recently.
What's his name?
Al Ostrowski.
What's his name?
Al Ostrowski.
Oh, you gave me his last name, too. I thought he had this strange first name.
No, yeah, he's one of the Anunnaki, right?
I'll just say hi to Al.
I appreciate that.
You got it, my friend. Thanks.
Thank you.
Tell him to get better. Positive thinking. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi.
Hello.
A couple of, well, my name's Shannon. Me and my husband's trucking. Let me get that down first in Arizona. But y'all had a guest on a couple of months ago. I forgot what y'all were talking about. I don't know if it was you or Art, but he just bought a missile silo. Who was that?
Oh, that was Peter Davenport.
Peter Davenport.
He heads up the National UFO Reporting Center. And you're right, he bought a silo. I don't know what he's going to really do with it, but he bought it.
Well, my husband's interested in that kind of stuff. Does he have a web address? Or?
Yeah, yeah. All you have to do is go to our website, coasttocoastam.com.
Uh-huh.
And again, on the left-hand side, click show, then guests.
Uh-huh.
And it's all alphabetical. Just look for Davenport. And that'll
right.
that'll take you right to his website. And he's got
right.
phone numbers there and everything else.
It's nice to talk to you, George.
Okay, thanks. Drive carefully. And let's go next to our West of the Rockies line. You're up with us. Hi there.
Hey, George. How are you?
Good, sir.
Yeah, I just wanted to call. I've been a police officer since 1990, and I've worked 80% of that probably on graveyard shift or swing
well,
shift.
Well, thanks for your service, first of all.
Thank you. I'm in a supervisory capacity now, but I just wanted to call and say every police officer out there that's ever worked graveyard shift will tell you that in the middle of the night, there's always strange noises, strange lights, you know, just eerie feelings out there sometimes.
And you guys see it all.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, and they tell us, you know, in the middle of the night, you know, sensory perception, you know, increases and everything else. But, you know, there's no particular incident that I ever had. But, you know, sometimes when you're creeping around in the woods and stuff like that, you're looking for stuff, you know, you'll see strange shadows out in the trees and you'll see strange lights in the sky or along the ground. And it's just...
Was there a moment that scared you more than anything?
The one incident I can actually remember, and it's nothing that I really saw or heard, but I was actually doing foot patrols checking local businesses in a warehouse area, and I just got that weird sixth sense, you know, the hair on the back of my head
yeah.
stood up, and, you know, just had that gut feeling inside, and I just stopped my foot patrol, went back to my car, and left. Because, you know, something out there just...
Didn't feel right.
That sixth sense that,
yeah.
you know, they say people have.
And you know what? You have to react to it.
Yeah, and I tell you what, I've learned to trust that sixth sense in the in the 16 years I've been a police
officer. It takes
officer.
A while, but once you learn it, you got to trust it.
Yes, you do.
Okay, hey, thanks. Appreciate it. We've got a lot of police officers that listen to the program on a regular basis. Well, don't forget now, we're going to just wrap this up with UFO Phil before we say goodnight. But this weekend, we've got Ian Punnett. Art Bell expected to do the program. He was in China over the week. I think he will get back to the Philippines. He may even be back there now. But we'll stand by and do the program in case he doesn't. But I think the likelihood of him being back on time is probably 85 to 90%. That's a pretty good rate. Okay, sit back, enjoy. This was done, sent in a long time ago by a regular listener of the show, one of our fans. He put it together. He sang the song. He's UFO Phil.
Never knew I had Martians in my garden, and I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware, but now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid, but as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening, wherever you may be, whichever world you're living. Your voice is always welcome here on my radio. Call in with your space transmitter or your telephone. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast.
Hey, in a month when we tape these sci-fi pilots, we will be doing it before a live audience. Those of you in the Los Angeles area will need you to show up in the audience, so we'll tell you about that at a future date. But just get ready to be down there and part of the program. As a matter of fact, the audience is a very integral part of the program we're putting together. For Karis Coburn, Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Ross Mitchell, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.